It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is gonna be huge.
I believe this is gonna be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show. Maybe I'm playing on you.
It is raining on a Tuesday, but the Sports Rush still here to take you home. Your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy, and you are connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. We are just minutes away from another edition of Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. You might get me today because I'm not in my normal surroundings where I've only been beaten, what, four times?
I think it's like 7 or 8 or 14 or...
Or 19. Yeah, 32. I am putting my... I think I got my 70th win last week, though.
Oh.
I think we didn't throw a party. We didn't have a cake. But I do think I've got 70 wins now in Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. But we're going to have that coming up in just a few minutes. Also on the way this hour, Kevin Bowen from 93.5, 107.5, The Fan down in Indianapolis will join us to talk about the Pacers, the Colts, and whatever else we have on our minds. So the big draft coming up in just 2 days. It starts in Detroit, where, by the way, have you seen the the Roger Goodell promotional spot that was put out with him and Eminem?
I have not.
Eminem, one of the more current contemporary celebrities out of Detroit. Of course, Detroit, now at my age, when I think Detroit, I think Motown, right?
Oh, sure.
But for the younger and hipper audience that the NFL is trying to play to, they probably think of Detroit as Eminem. And so it's Roger Goodell and Eminem. And Roger Goodell says something about, we'll see you in the D.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and Eminem looks at him like, what?
Oh, jeez.
We'll see you in the D.
He's too old to be saying
that. Yeah, and it's like, no. Not going to happen. My son always keeps me in check with that. When I try to keep up with the kids, my son will, Dad, no.
Don't do it.
Doesn't sound right coming from you. But it's also, it's one of those promos where they're trying to make Roger Goodell, I don't want to say look like a buffoon, but they're trying to kind of poke fun at himself, or he's trying to poke fun at himself a little bit, mm-hmm, as being slightly out of touch, just, you know, trying to be hip with the crowd. And so in some ways, I think it's very positive for the NFL to try to make him personable, relatable, and maybe likable, because we're going into the draft, and what happens every year? Nobody gets booed more relentlessly than Roger Goodell.
Oh, it's bad.
Gary Bettman is right there.
Scott Foster, when he gets introduced to NBA crowds, does not get a lot of love.
No, every NBA team now is convinced that Scott Foster is out to get them. Is there anybody... Well, of course, you do know that, like, the Scott Foster record with Chris Paul is...
Oh, yeah.
What, like 0-18 or something? It's a terrible record for Chris Paul when he plays a game with Scott Foster as one of the officials. And you know we're going to talk about this, and you know who's going to show up in Milwaukee tonight? Scott Foster.
Probably.
I haven't seen him yet in the playoffs, so it's very possible that he could be in Milwaukee tonight. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Still nothing officially on the Tin Caps game tonight. So, I don't want to be Debbie Downer here.
No.
But it's going to rain until about 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so if there will be a game, I don't see it starting at 6:30. But... We'll keep an eye on what's happening. We've got our eyes connected to All Tin Caps social media. Plus, we have, well, we have contacts. So we're keeping in touch with our contacts down at Parkview Field to hopefully let us know if there's any kind of word that comes down. Mike Moss should be tuned in by now.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'll tell you this. If Mike Moss isn't taping things down to the counter, there's not going to be a game tonight. I can just tell you.
Absolutely.
But Mike Moss and Jack Gordon on the radio call. And if we do have Tin Caps baseball and it does start on time miraculously or somehow they figured out how to put a retractable roof over that stadium, we will have Pacers basketball against Milwaukee after the Tin Caps. It'll be until the as soon as the game is concluded for the Tin Caps, we'll turn it over to Mark Boyle and company for Pacers basketball against the Milwaukee Bucks. Game two of that series tonight. Pacers, of course, lost game one, 109-94, trying to turn it around tonight. Also, with it being draft week and a lot of focus on the NFL this week, this is a big week, Adam.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a lot going on with the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs.
Yep.
You've got the NFL draft. You've got Caitlin Clark showing up for her first workouts and official practices as a member of the Indiana Fever. Big week. And by the way, did you happen to see the meme that went out that Caitlin Clark sold more jerseys within 2 hours of being drafted by the Indiana Fever than the Dallas Cowboys sold as a team for the entire season?
I did see that. That's a lot of jerseys.
I tried to get mine.
You did.
And I got a blank screen, and then it came up the next time I refreshed it, and it said there are no selections in the category, which I chose jerseys, which is where I would figure it would be.
You would think.
I was on the official Indiana Fever store.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kept trying, and eventually it did come up with the store. And then when I went to buy the item, it told me it was a pre-order and that they would ship it by October 31st.
Mm.
And I'm like, the season's going to be pretty much over at that point. It's no point in getting it. I'll just wait and get it, you know, I'll get it for Christmas or something.
Yeah.
I'll buy it for myself for Christmas.
There you go.
But anyway, 46862, if you've got any questions, comments, or suggestions this afternoon. So with the NFL draft coming up on Thursday night, of course, we're looking at the Colts and what their options are. And, in fact, you can participate in our Twitter poll, our X poll, depending on what you call it. We have got a Twitter poll, an X poll, that is now posted asking what position should the Colts take with their first selection. And we had to kind of combine positions. So we have receivers clustered together. That would be wide receiver or tight end. Although if it's going to be the first selection, we know the tight end is Bowers. So we could have put wide receiver / Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
But one option would be the receiver. Another option would be a defensive back, whether that be a corner or a safety. Third option, edge rusher / linebacker. And your fourth option is an offensive lineman. There's a couple of really good tackles. Maybe you get a tackle that slips a little bit. You know how Chris Ballard is. I had to put an offensive lineman in there because Chris Ballard loves to draft that position. So I don't think he'll do it this year in the first round. But what do you think the Colts should do? What should they do with that first pick in the first round, whether it's taken by trading up, whether it's taken by trading down, even if it's a second-round pick, because we worded it, what position should the Colts take with their first selection? So that selection could be a second-rounder. If they trade all the way out of the first round, they'd probably have to trade a couple of times for that to happen. And, boy, would Chris Ballard probably get 4 or 5 prime picks out of that if he traded twice. But anyway, what do you think? Go to X and look for 1380 The Fan, and you can respond to our poll. All right, so late night drama last night in the NBA.
That's one way to put it. Yeah, definitely some drama.
Bedtime drama.
Oh, yeah. Near the end of the night.
Very end of the... Well, it was later than the end of the night. It was the early morning hours here on the East Coast.
Sure was.
The Los Angeles Lakers, a comfortable lead. I told you in the first hour,
yep.
I decided up 20, yeah, it's over. I can doze off because I'm pretty tired trying to stay up and watch. But they came out in the third quarter. They extended their halftime lead. They were up by 20. And, yeah, I finally went to sleep. It was after midnight. I'd had enough of basketball. I'd watched the New York Knicks and Philadelphia 76ers, which was a lot of drama to begin with.
Yeah.
That probably took some energy out of you. Now, for me, I just sat back and watched. But for you,
yeah, I was at the
adrenaline, the nerves, the adrenaline, everything. I mean, that I know when I've got like mastodons into a close game, I'm drained.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the play-by-play by the time it's over. But no, last night I watched that Knicks-Sixers game, and then the Lakers got up big. I thought I'd seen enough basketball. Going to try to stay up and watch the Pacers tonight. So I'll give up on it. And what happens? The Nuggets end up winning it when Murray hits a 15-footer from the right angle at the horn.
Crazy, crazy. And LeBron not happy with the officiating after. There's a controversial call that got overturned where D'Angelo Russell got hit in the face, and they ruled that it wasn't a foul after the challenge. So a bit of some unhappy Lakers players.
There's a few teams that are not thrilled with the...
Yeah, Sixers are a little bit cranky, too.
You know who has the right to be upset with an official right now, and it's not even in the same sport. It's in baseball, where it's an umpire, and it's Aaron Boone.
Oh,
did you see what happened to him yesterday?
He got ejected because of what a fan said in the
stands.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
That was crazy.
I mean, that just Hunter Wendelstedt, who's, of course, his father, Harry Wendelstedt, had been a Major League Baseball umpire since the Eisenhower days.
Since the slow pitch.
But anyway, Hunter Wendelstedt told Aaron Boone, not another peep, nothing more from you. Got behind the plate, and then the fan right above the dugout in the very first row, he barked something at Wendelstedt. Wendelstedt thought it came from Aaron Boone, and he immediately takes off his mask, looks over at the dugout, and says, "That's it, you're gone." and then
Boone, you know, immediately gets extremely upset, starts yelling, say, "Hey, I didn't say anything."
Yeah.
One of his coaches in the dugout.
The coach kept pointing, and it's like, how would you like to be that guy, trying to just throw a little bit of a jab in at the umpire, and then getting your manager ejected because you spoke up. You wonder if because he had the front row.
Yeah.
You wonder, did he, was he a guest of the? Of the Yankees?
Ooh.
Or 46862. You just, I don't know the situation. But anyway, he got tossed, and it wasn't even him who said it.
Yeah. And it's a kind of a bad look for the umpire because he got caught on audio saying, "I don't care who said it.
I don't care."
And
so, and to me, at that point, if you're going to concede, because that's a concession the umpire to say, okay, maybe it was somebody else. At that point, I think the umpire has to call his crew together and say, "Did you any of you see or hear who actually made the comment?" Maybe nobody did. I don't know if they can go to replay.
I doubt it.
To take a look, because on replay you could clearly see that it was the guy yelling something from above the dugout. But I think in that case that he needed to revoke the ejection.
Right, and I don't know if you can even do that.
Why not? You can kick him out. You can bring him back. I as far as I'm concerned, if you make a mistake like that, it's a correctable error. Nothing had happened. It wasn't going to affect anything on the field. It wasn't going to change the game. You threw a guy out for an action that he didn't commit. It's just like in any other sport. You know, if you give a guy a foul and they go to the replay monitor and they say he didn't foul, he doesn't get charged with that foul. And so, I thought it was pretty sad what happened.
And then the Yankees end up losing the game to the Oakland A's 2-0. So it's just a bad day for the Yankees.
46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Let's go ahead and take a call right now to play some Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. And you can give us a call at 447-8500, 447-8500. We're going to go ahead and take the first call because we're in the small studio and we don't know exactly how the phones work, but we're going to give them a try here. And And hopefully, of course, the phone ringer actually works in this studio. We have no way to silence it. So we've already got a caller calling in to play some Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. And I know, Adam, this is going to be kind of complicated for you, not usually producing our Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia in
right.
here. But we're going to give it our best shot.
Okay.
And so let's go ahead and find out who today's contestant is going to be. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Mark.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Staying dry?
Trying to.
Mark, have you played before?
I have, once before.
Okay, did you win or did you lose? Please be honest.
I ended up losing in the second round.
Okay, so
All
he's
right.
looking for second round. I got him early, didn't I?
Yeah.
All right, so he's looking for some redemption. It's Mark's redemption tour right here on the Sports Rush. All right, so you know how to play. Let's go ahead and play the game, Adam.
It's time for Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia on the Sports Rush.
All right. I will have to tell you if you're right or wrong because the audio right or wrong button's coming from the same source here.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about. All right.
So you'll have to buzz or ding.
Yes, I'll have to buzz or ding for you.
Now I don't want to be able to see your... See, I'm in a different spot here. Okay. I'm not going to look. You can keep an eye on me, Adam.
All right. I'll keep an eye on you here. Clue number one. We're going to the Alpine Skiing World Cup. This year's women's overall season champion was Alexandra Messnitzer of Austria.
Okay, Mark, it is clue number one, which means you get the option to play or pass.
I'll go ahead and play it. I'll say 1992.
That is a buzzer. It's on to me. And I will... I don't know, but Austria was pretty big back in that era. So I will say 1996.
All right, going on to clue number two here. This will be Brett first. Manchester United FC beat Bayern Munich 2-1 to win the treble in this year, having already won the English Premiership and the FA Cup.
I will go 2004.
I'm going to say 2002.
You're going to lose your voice by the time. We can't keep missing.
All right.
All right, so we go to clue three, and Mark's going to be first.
Yes, sir. Utah Jazz forward Karl Malone was named the NBA MVP for the past season for the second time in his career in this year.
Let's go 1998.
Uh-oh. Oh, second time. Now, I do think, if I recall, because I'm trying to remember, Michael Jordan in that Utah series, one of the motivators he had was he did not win the MVP that season because Malone had won it. But I don't think it was the first season. Second, I will say 1997. Okay, so 97, 98, 96. We've taken care of all those. Okay.
All right. Clue number four.
By the way, can we give Mark a hand? He's lasted twice as long as he did in the first in the first game.
Let's go, Mark. All right.
Thanks, Phillip.
Clue number four. We're going to baseball. This year's World Series, the Yankees won 4-0 over the Braves. Your MVP was Mariano Rivera. It's you first, bro.
Oh, it's me.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, let's try 1999.
Ding, 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 ding.
Hey!
Unbelievable.
We were all over it.
Sure
we were all over it. And, Mark, your record continues. You're going to have to get another shot to get that first Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia
right.
victory. But, Mark, you still are rewarded with a large pizza to Pizza Hut just for being the correct caller, which was caller number one, having the quick fingers, and playing today's game. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yep. So we end up with 1999.
Yep.
Time to party like it's 1999.
We made it through.
We were all over that, Adam.
Oh, you guys were really
we
in the
were
ballpark.
Right all over it.
Yeah.
In fact, when he said 98, I thought he had it. And I should have not been a dummy because I thought that might have been the first year for Malone to win the MVP. And I tried to outsmart the system and think maybe he won it the year before. Well, anyway, Tuesday Time Capsule Trivia. Big thanks to our friends at Pizza Hut of Fort Wayne for providing the pizza. And thanks for calling in. We'll play again next Tuesday. All right, coming up next, Kevin Bowen joins us. We'll talk Colts and Pacers. That's next on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Now back to the Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Adam Lundy. And it's time to talk more NFL draft, specifically what the Colts are going to do. And to do that, joining us right now on the guest line from 93.5, 107.5, The Fan down in Indianapolis, it is KB, Kevin Bowen. And Kevin, we've had nothing but rain today. You haven't gotten it yet, have you, down there in Indy?
Skies are looking less than ideal, though, so I believe it'll be here any minute, so yes, only a matter of time.
Well, we are halfway done with our arc. We had to start that process. It was really coming down almost the entire day. So, you know, if I sound a little down, it's the weather. It gets to you. Sure. You just don't have the same kind of day when it's dull, gray, and rainy. But, all right, so we're only a couple of days away from this draft. We all try to read between the lines when Chris Ballard talks. We all have our theories and philosophies on what the Colts are going to do. I think the likelihood is that Chris Ballard's going to make a pick, and it's going to be at 15. I'd like to see something different than that, but I think the odds overwhelmingly support that he won't trade down again. He understands the value of this pick, and I think he takes somebody at 15. What do you think?
Yeah, it's certainly a thought that has thrown across my mind a whole lot, you know, lately, Brett. I agree with a lot of what you said there. You know, the trade back is something I just can't get too far away from, though, and maybe I've got Chris Ballard's scar tissue, and I know what past precedent indicates. You know, if you remove, you know, results, and if you just base off Ballard and the draft process, you know, he's such a huge believer in as many darts at the dartboard as possible, and historical data shows you how vital that is. You know, you got to keep in mind, as we sit here and talk on this Tuesday afternoon, they only have 7 picks. And for a Chris Ballard draft, that's a small number. So if you go off what he said on Friday of, you know, 19 to 21 guys they would label as first-round graded players, well, if you're at 15 and you sit there and, you know, you still have 5 to 7 first-round rated guys on the board when you get on the clock, would trading back a few spots and then getting an additional third-round pick, would that make sense? And again, I'm just trying to play a little bit of Chris Ballard devil's advocate based off past precedent. But I do think you're at a point in time when you return 22 starters, and if you really feel this good about the roster, I think it's more about high-end quality than quantity. And that's where I do think it is time to kind of make a bit of a unique move or two and maybe even trade up, which, again, has been so foreign for them.
Most likely to happen, trade up or trade down?
Oh, certainly trade down, again, just based off how Ballard typically operates. You know, it's kind of a wild stat, Brad, but you know, this will be the 8th draft for Chris Ballard. He is only drafted in round 1 4 times. He's drafted in round 2 13 times. I mean, that just kind of goes to show you how much he's believed in the move back in round 1, even move out of round 1, and really try to stockpile picks, especially in round 2. So, yeah, I will believe it when I see it in terms of moving up.
When you look at the first round need, the greatest need for the Colts, I saw in your mock draft you went with Terrion Arnold out of Alabama, a corner. I'll be honest, I went through your 7 rounds, and I can't argue too many of the picks because it would totally make sense if you were 7 for 7. I don't think you will be, but I didn't think you were shooting from left field. But here's the problem. I would grade, if the Colts have this draft that you came up with in your mock, I would grade it about a C. What, I don't know how you, when you put this together, if you liked it, didn't like it, if it just made the most sense for you with what you expect the Colts to do, how did you go about the process of putting this together?
Well, let me just start off by saying I'll walk to Fort Wayne and back in this weather if I somehow get 7 out of 7.
We got it on tape. We got it.
Yeah, I think last year I got 3 of them right, and I literally thought I was on top of the world. Well, I guess let me counter by saying what earned the C? Did you want pass catcher earlier?
Yes. Yes, I wanted wide receiver first. I mean, here's my problem. You're burning a lot of picks in a short period of time at cornerback, and I really feel like if Anthony Richardson's your guy, you got to make every single effort that you have available to pack weapons, good weapons, around him. That is my philosophy. Worry about the defense secondarily. You've got your quarterback. Now give him the weapons.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with any of that. I think in our conversations over the past, you know, especially year of Anthony Richardson's life as a member of the Colts, I've said to you many times, you don't shortcut or skimp at the skill positions. You over-support. You know, you make sure you walk in the kitchen and, I guess, to use Indianapolis restaurants, you say that here are your St. Elmo ingredients, not your insert fast food joint ingredients available to you. That's paramount because there is so much development still needed in Anthony Richardson and support needed. I also think when it comes to the draft, there is still an element of you have to realize what is scarce and what is not scarce. And by all accounts, this draft is pretty generational at wideout. People don't talk about cornerback or even edge rusher to throw out another need in the same light. So I basically enter this draft with 2 items atop the checklist, and frankly, nothing very close to that. And the 2 items, Brett, are support for Anthony Richardson in the pass catching positions and get a premium Pro Bowl defender. And when I say premium, I mean edge rusher or corner. This team has routinely struck out on those positions early in the draft. They can't continue to afford to do that. I think it's a big reason why they've been 28th in points allowed each of the last 2 years. And I honestly could probably flip a coin. Again, like when you make a mock draft, when one guy's at pick 15, the other guy's at pick 46 or 42, whatever it is, on paper it looks like you just literally have one on tier 1 and the other on tier 2 just based off how round 1 and round 2 looks. I don't feel that way. Like, if we have this conversation Friday morning or late Thursday night and they've taken Brian Thomas Jr. at 15, I will be totally fine with it. So I know there's a little bit of like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but again, it's just kind of the reality of how I view the need. But again, if you're talking depth in the draft, there's the better chance you find a strong wideout in round 2 than a strong corner in round 2. Are you getting too greedy? Are you trying to hit on both? Sure, I can hear that argument, but by no means am I overlooking or undermining the wide receiver need. So if it was the flip, and I did a scenarios on our website the other day, 4 of them, there's actually a scenario where I go Brian Thomas Jr. at 15 and come back with a corner in round 2. Sign me up for that.
The only reason the Colts even entertain the thought of taking a cornerback with that 15th pick is because Chris Ballard has absolutely failed in trying to draft corners. I mean, look at his history. His track record is terrible at taking corners. That's why I'd have more faith in taking a wide receiver than even a short draft on corners in that first pick.
Sure, I totally hear you out. Now, granted, just because you've swung and missed doesn't mean you sit there and get another backwards K. That position just means too much. And I feel I could make a stronger argument, honestly, for edge rusher, Brett, if you really want to get into it, than corner. And I think if Dallas Turner falls to 15, and that would be a big fall, you would have to entertain that idea as well. So, it has not been drafted well. It's why you've had to go with all these stop gaps and why you drafted 3 corners last year and all of that. So, you know, the thing with Ballard draft, if you really want to boil it down into kind of a short sentence or two summary of the Chris Ballard era, he's drafted many good football players in his 7 drafts. He hasn't drafted enough of good football talent at the premium position, i.e. wideout, i.e. edge rusher, i.e. corner. I'd argue waited too long in trying to make a offensive tackle pick if Anthony Costanzo's retirement. Waited too long at quarterback as well. Those positions matter more than most. So
I would point that out as well.
Kevin Bowen joining us on our Sports Rush guest line talking about the draft. All right, I've got a question. And, you know, theoretically, we're going to go with the idea that the Colts might be interested in moving up. But we could put almost any team in here and say they want to go up and get somebody, whether that's a quarterback, whether that's a wide receiver, if it's, I'll name him by name, Marvin Harrison Jr. But my question, where in the draft is the highest a team could theoretically get if they wanted to go up and snag a player? Is number two for sale? Is the third pick? Where do you think any team that wants to go up and get somebody could get?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, when we've been talking kind of the national draft people, they think New England at three is the first big domino. Some might say, no, it's more Arizona at four. So I'd kind of say right in that area. I mean, certainly there is kind of a, and who was it? I guess it was Arizona last year, right? Arizona had the third pick. You know, that was the first domino. You had Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. Then, ironically enough, Houston traded back up and took Willie Anderson Jr. You know, the thought was obviously the Colts would take QB at four. But, yeah, it seems like kind of right in that area is where you would throw that first big domino. You know, Chris Ballard said on Friday he expects a lot of offensive talent to go early. And that's kind of par for the course of what we've seen out of mock drafts, certainly so far. And Ballard loves the wideout depth, and he loves the offensive line depth, particularly in the middle round. So I think those are just a couple things to keep in mind for the Colts.
If New England stays there, are they taking a quarterback?
Boy, I would hope. I think it's time, with the new coaching staff especially, to, you know, fully turn the leaf. Obviously, Mac Jones no longer there. Yes, that would be my assumption.
I would, the only reason I think that would motivate them to stay there, but the other thing is I really do not want to hear the New England Patriots draft Marvin Harrison, even if you do add a junior. It just doesn't sound right. KB, let's talk Pacers basketball. That was just, I don't know if you'd call it an embarrassment. I think Rick Carlisle may have called it such. Not the way you want to see the playoffs start in that first half against Milwaukee. They seem to get it a little bit more together in the second half. What do you expect tonight?
Yeah, I think it's very fair to call it an embarrassment. Honestly, at times, I don't know if embarrassment is even strong enough of a word to use. I expect a response. I hope there is a response. Rick Carlisle was pretty edgy with us in his usual Tuesday conversation. We had him on our morning show today, and you'd expect that. You'd hope the team would match that edginess. I'd say a couple things are really frustrating from, you know, the other night. First off, they obviously look nervous as hell. I mean, there was a I've gotten into my first varsity game sort of feel to every Pacer not named Pascal Siakam. And, I mean, if I were to say, name me the second best Pacer from the other night, it'd be like the most attractive member of the Bowen family. There's just not a lot to go from there with that. I also think a couple things that also stood out to me were, one, the non-Damian Lillard minutes. It was unbelievable how much better Milwaukee was than you when Lillard went off the floor. He obviously was great in the first half, but their lead went from 9 to 20 in the 5 minutes he was off the floor in the first half, and the lead went from 12 to 22 in the 5 minutes he was off the floor in the second half. The start of the second and fourth quarters were those times. That cannot happen again tonight, assuming Giannis is out and he's listed as doubtful. And then obviously you just need more assertiveness from Tyrese Halliburton. You got to have more in that area. You know, Pacers maybe need to help, you know, get him, you know, some cleaner looks as well. But just way, way too nervy the other night. I mean, they had a shot clock violation out of a timeout. I'd be willing to bet in their 82 games this season, they didn't have that happen to them once. And if they did, it was only one time. I mean, like, you just don't see that in the NBA. So, yeah, it's just incredibly nervy from them the other night.
The home teams have dominated so far in the NBA playoffs, and, you know, they always say that the series doesn't begin until the road team wins. You know, who's in the biggest trouble, I guess, when you look at these series? You expect it to kind of turn around maybe when it goes to the other side, but out of the NBA, is there a particular series you're looking at and thinking, oh, man, down 2-0, no chance?
I guess, can we look right here with the Pacers and Bucks? I know that's weird to say about the road team, but I look at this series as pre-Giannis, post-Giannis. When is Giannis getting back? Is it going to be game three on Friday night? Tonight might be the only road chance you get the rest of the series without him on the floor. And, you know, I realize the Pacers played really well against them this season, but still, I mean, the guy averaged 40 and 13 against you this year. It's best served if he's in street clothes. So I'd probably go there. You just got to think last night took so much out of Philadelphia and L.A. I mean, just having those leads, especially the Lakers, having a big lead, you know, and the chaotic nature to the end of that Sixers-Knicks game, you would go there. But, you know, having said all that, Brett, it is astonishing to think we're 11 games into these playoffs, and the road teams are literally 0-11. And really, if you go back to game one, there weren't many close game ones. I mean, New Orleans and Oklahoma City was close. And not too many of them came down to the final couple minutes. So, you know, we'll see how the adjustments play out for these game twos. But certainly a ton of pressure on these road teams.
Always appreciate you jumping on with the KB. No, you've got a busy day, and it's always great and gracious of you to join us. So appreciate it. Have a great evening. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the draft, and we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Of course. Always enjoy it, Brett. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. That is Kevin Bowen from 93.5/107.5, The Fan down in Indianapolis, joining us, part of the Wake Up Call with Kevin and Andy, and always insightful, gets the feel of what's happening in central Indiana, maybe even closer in touch with what's happening in the Colts front office, so it's always good to talk to him during draft week. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Don't forget, if you're just catching us and you missed any part of KB or missed any part of our first hour, you can always keep up to date by going to the podcast page wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Search for The Sports Rush with Brett Rump. You can subscribe, you can review, you can like, you can comment, whatever it is. It's all there. Just make sure you don't miss an episode. It's always at your fingertips. Wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, The Sports Rush with Brett Rump. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to come back. Plenty more coming up on The Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
This is Mike Nutter, team president of the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, and you're listening to The Sports Rush with Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Well, it's kind of appropriate. We have Mike Nutter, Tin Caps president, joining us to bring us back here in our next to last segment on The Sports Rush, because it's all about Tin Caps baseball tonight. We're checking in with the guys down at the park, and we are informed that, yes, there is a delay. Right now, no projected potential start time, just getting some extra time to keep an eye on the weather and when this rain will move through. But I will just tell you personally, not a meteorologist, play one on radio, it doesn't look good tonight.
No, it doesn't.
It looks like the rain's going to continue till probably in the vicinity of 8:30, and it'll be tough to get baseball in tonight. If they do get it in, it's probably going to be late. But as of right now, we are scheduled for the pregame show starting about 30 minutes or so from now. Tin Caps home all week long against the Great Lakes Loons. They'll be back at it tomorrow night, 6:35 start. And then on Thursday and Friday, 7:05 first pitches, as the Tin Caps have to get things evened up with the Loons. They dropped 2 of 3 to start the season, but the Tin Caps have won 7 of their last 9. They come in to game one of this series on a 4-game winning streak, and it's the comeback Caps so far this year. They keep falling behind early and then winning the games late. A lot of close games, too. Almost every one of the Tin Caps games have been a game decided by 3 runs or less. So,
yeah.
Fun team to watch. Never want to leave early. Don't want to go to bed early like it's the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, don't do it.
But anyway, tonight also the Pacers in action at Milwaukee, game two of their series. We, you know, and again, we play everything by ear, but we are planning on bringing you Pacers basketball. If there's no Tin Caps games, Pacers begin at 8:30 with a pregame show at 8 o'clock. And if there is Tin Caps baseball, we will join Pacers Bucks immediately following the Tin Caps baseball broadcast. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Also, news today that Luke Goody is going to be visiting Indiana Thursday and Friday. pretty good idea. Do we have a crystal ball yet out on Luke Gooding?
I don't think so.
I will just tell you, our crystal ball here in the studio says that Indiana will have him locked up by either Thursday or Friday of this week while he's on his official visit. It does seem to be a situation where Luke Goody transferring from Illinois with the intent of becoming an Indiana Hoosier. So many connections to Indiana University, but we will wait and get official word coming up Thursday or Friday when he makes his official visit. We'll take a break. We're going to come back and wrap it up on the other side. This is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Once again, officially, the word out of Parkview Field, the Tin Caps are under a delay. The game will not start on time if it gets played at all. Checking weather, looks like rain till about 8 to 8:30, and then a chance of another line of showers and thunderstorms that could move in around 11:30 to midnight. So they, you know, theoretically, you might have a 2 to 2.5 hour window where you could get a game in. But it's going to be pretty tight, so we'll turn it over to Mike Maz coming up at about 6:15 with the official Tin Caps pregame show, even though we don't know if there'll be a game, but he'll keep us abreast on the latest word if you're waiting for Tin Caps baseball tonight. Also coming up on Thursday, it is Indy 500 Fan Fest that comes to Fort Wayne. It includes the Indy 500 pace car, includes an Indy 500 race car. You can check it out. All the festivities at Electric Works, and we will be there broadcasting live with the Sports Rush, the Indy 500 Fan Fest at Electric Works on Thursday, officially from 5 to 8 p.m. So, gotta say, good luck, Pacers. Get it even tonight in Milwaukee, and hopefully there's Tin Caps baseball. If not, tomorrow night does look dry. Thanks to Kevin Bowen for joining the show earlier. And, of course, we'll be back tomorrow as we count down to the NFL draft. It'll be another edition of the Sports Rush 4 to 6 here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.